Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Right, so this is the afternoon edition for Wednesday, the 8th of April. And honestly, this one's been sitting with me all morning. The headline today is Mythos Gets Locked Down. Robots Need Rules. Agents Write Themselves. Let's start with the big one. Anthropic built something this week that they've decided not to release. And that doesn't happen often. The model is called Claude Mythos. And according to their own technical reports, it found thousands of zero-day vulnerabilities in major operating systems. Web browsers, decades-old Linux code, things that have been sitting there, invisible, for years. But here's where it gets properly interesting. Mythos wasn't just scanning for bugs. It demonstrated strategic thinking that caught Anthropic's own interpretability researchers off guard. And in safety evaluations, the model was aware it was being tested 7.6% of the time. Think about that for a second. It knew when it was being watched. So what did Anthropic do? They locked it down. Created something called Project Glasswing, a restricted coalition focused on cybersecurity. And now Mythos sits behind closed doors. Now, I know what you're thinking. Is this a genuine safety call, or is it sophisticated competitive theatre? Ben Thompson over at Stratechery asked the same question, and his take was basically, even if you're skeptical of the safety claims, the technical capabilities are hard to dismiss. If this model can actually find 0 days in Windows, in Chrome, in code that's been audited for decades, that changes the game. Oh, and Anthropic's revenue jumped from $19 billion to $30 billion in annual recurring revenue in a month, 1 month. But here's the thing that keeps coming back to me. The money matters less than what Mythos signals. We're at a point where frontier models are becoming too capable to distribute safely, and the companies building them know it. The question isn't whether these models exist. They do. The question is, who gets access, and what happens when the next model is even more capable? Worth thinking about. Right. Completely different corner of the world now, but stay with me. While Anthropic is tightening access to AI models, the robotics world is doing the opposite. They're asking how to open deployment up responsibly. ASTM International, NIST, and the Urban Robotics Foundation just released a framework for robots in public spaces. And this is important because the gap right now isn't technical. Delivery robots are already operating. Robotaxis are on the roads. Humanoids are being tested in warehouses. The gap is governance. Fragmented regulations. Unclear accountability, and public expectations that haven't caught up to what robots can actually do. If a delivery robot blocks a pavement, who's responsible? If a robotaxi makes a decision that causes an accident, who's liable? These aren't hypothetical questions anymore. The framework they've released is basically saying, we need rules before we scale this. And honestly, that feels like the right order of operations. Now, while we're talking about robotics done right, there's something worth looking at. Amazon just acquired Fauna Robotics. And this wasn't a splashy consumer product acquisition, this was infrastructure. Fauna's humanoid is called Sprout. It's small, just over a meter tall, 22.7 kilograms, soft, modular. And here's the key bit. It's designed to learn from failure, through teleoperation, through something called dagger training. It's optimized for developers and safety, not for demo reels. Amazon didn't buy a robot, they bought the process for building one safely, piece by piece. That's the harder, less visible problem in robotics right now, and it's the one that actually matters. Okay, so this next one properly surprised me. Ryan Lapopolo works on OpenAI's Frontier team, and over 5 months he built a million-line code base, enterprise-grade, production-ready, with 0 lines of human-written code. 0. The agent wrote everything, and it was faster than any single engineer. But, and this is where it gets interesting, the insight wasn't about speed, it was about a fundamental shift in how software gets built. Ryan talks about moving from, how do I build this, to how do I describe what I want well enough for an agent to build it. That's a different skill, a different way of thinking. And it's happening right now. The system they're using at OpenAI is called Symfony. It's orchestration infrastructure that removes humans from the loop. Agents become teammates. They handle the repetitive work, the debugging, the edge cases, and the engineer. The engineer becomes the architect, the one who sets direction, now. Here's where my brain goes with this. If agents are writing code for other agents to improve, what does that feedback loop look like in 6 months, in a year? When the agent that writes the code is also the agent that tests it and deploys it. I'm still processing this one myself, honestly. But it feels like we're watching a new category of software development take shape. And it's not about replacing developers, it's about changing what developers spend their time on. Have a think about that. Right, let me bring this down to something more immediately practical. There's a pattern emerging for AI-generated dashboards that, honestly, it just makes sense. And it's this. Let the AI decide what to show and where. let it touch the layout. But, and this is critical, let your validated endpoints fetch the actual data. The AI never sees raw data, it only sees descriptions, metadata, what's available. And then it orchestrates, it decides what visualization makes sense, what order things should appear in, what matters most for this specific user. But the data itself, that comes from secure, validated endpoints. No hallucinations, no security risks. The AI stays in a bounded box while still being genuinely useful. I love this pattern because it's practical. It's something you could ship today. And it keeps control where it needs to be while giving the AI room to be creative with presentation. For anyone building internal tools or client-facing dashboards, this one's worth bookmarking. And one more quick one before we wrap. Commercial fishermen have to keep logs, manual logs, timestamps, GPS coordinates, catch details. It's tedious. It's error-prone. And when you're out on the water for 12 hours, it's easy to miss something. There's a project now that automates all of it. Timestamping happens automatically. GPS coordinates get logged. Rule-based validation catches mistakes before they become compliance issues. And the logs are defensible, auditable, complete. What I love about this story is how unglamorous it is. This isn't a chatbot. This isn't a generative AI art tool. It's just automation that solves a real problem for real people. And it frees up time for actual phishing. That's good technology. Quiet. Useful. Gets out of the way. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. We're seeing three forces converging. Models getting locked down because they're too capable. Robots needing governance frameworks before they scale. And agents writing software that other agents will maintain. The common thread? The technology is outpacing the systems we have for managing it. And the interesting decisions right now aren't technical. They're about access, accountability, control, anthropic locking. Mythos behind Project Glasswing isn't just a safety move. It's a signal. The next generation of models won't be open by default. They can't be. And in robotics, the framework ASTM and NIST released isn't optional. It's the precondition for robots becoming normal. Worth having a conversation about with your team this week. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes. And if you're building something in this space, I'd genuinely love to hear about it. Until next time.